time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hell yeah, we're talking about weird dreams we had this weekend.
Should we share with the class?
Yeah.
I think everyone likes to hear...
I love weird dreams.
...other people's dream stories.
I had a dream that a nurse killed me. I don't know what I was in the hospital for, but I know that I was dead.
That's a very good dream.
Yeah.
You know, very entertaining.
It was sad.
I would imagine, though, like just the ups and downs, the thrills of that. Coming off of a Friday the 13th weekend, maybe you've watched a couple of scary movies or
something. You know what I watched?
What?
Sorry, tell your dream first and then I'll tell
people
what
I watched. No, because no one likes to hear about dreams. They don't like to hear about team
spirit. You just told me that you were going to share your dream on air.
Fine, I shared my dream. I got the TV show I used to be on got canceled and I woke up freaking out.
Very sad.
And then I was like, oh yeah. It's been 3 years since I did a TV show.
I watched Our Father, the documentary on Netflix.
Nice.
Which was about the doctor, fertility doctor in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Ooh.
Who, little to his patient's knowledge, was using his own sperm. And so in Indiana, the count is at 94 right now of half-siblings that this doctor fathered. Since there's no law in Indiana against this, he didn't go to jail.
Yeah, Astros won 2 and 3 this weekend, but we're throwing out the whole rundown because that is the most diabolical thing I have ever heard.
Highly recommended. It's called Our Father, and I may or may not
I get the
know
title.
Some of the people in the documentary.
Holy crap, that's even weirder.
It's
okay.
Very weird. But yes, the Astros on a winning streak. Now, they did have the winning streak snapped on Saturday as the Washington Nationals won 13-6. But to make up for it, the Astros shut them out 8-0 on Sunday. Great run for these guys. And, you know, it's like we talked about on Friday. You're starting to see some more complete wins. And even in that loss, 13-6.
And it was some runs in garbage time that made it a little bit closer because they were getting absolutely clobbered in the middle of that game, whether it was Taylor or Maton or Javier on the mound. It wasn't a good Saturday. But, Vanessa, I'm thrilled going into this week, even with the Astros winning streak being snapped, because this is the first time all year that they have scored 6 runs in a game in back-to-back games and then in 3 games in a row. And I'm all about the runs, baby. I love me some runs. Give me all of the runs. Like I've just gone to Chipotle Grill or something like that.
Oh.
I want all the runs. And they're scoring all the runs right now, which is good. You did not think that the offense would perhaps be off to such a slow start this year. You see some of the numbers. They're not where you would like them to be, ideally, at the end of the year. But I've been waiting for something like this. Just a reminder that they can be a Death Star against a couple of teams. And to do it against Washington, to take 2 out of 3, obviously doesn't make up for any World Series or anything like that. But that was also a little extra special.
It was cool. Christian Javier not really getting it done, struggled. I'm not overly worried about the pitching, though. We've talked about this. Even when a pitcher has a performance for the Astros that's not dominant, the rest of these guys are doing great and making up for it. And Justin Verlander looked excellent yesterday. Brian McTaggart of MLB.com checking more boxes in his return after having that surgery late 2020. Not only did he throw his hardest pitch of the season Sunday, his previous hardest was 96.7, but he threw 107 pitches, which is the most he's thrown since tossing 120 in his no-hitter September 1st, 2019. That's one of those things that might not catch a headline that he threw his hardest pitch or whatever, but I think that's a huge deal, especially with Lance McCullers Jr. out.
I mean, right now he's got to be one of the front runners for the Cy Young Award in the American League with what he has been doing because it is, again, another scoreless outing too. So I'm guessing his ERA, where is it at? Like 1.5 or something like that? He's been outstanding to open up the year. And I mean, yeah, you add it all up. You got to be feeling pretty good about this team and some of the other teams that they might be going up against in the American League down the road, whether that be Toronto or New York, and we'll get to those in a moment. I do have a really random question, and I'm curious, and you guys can entertain us on the text line, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Do people still hate the Nationals? Because, you know, so I was gone when the Astros played the Nationals in the World Series.
I was here.
Obviously, the Nationals won. Mm-hmm. So you hate any team that you lose to in a championship. That is by default. But it feels like because of this cheating scandal coming out right afterwards, I feel like instead of Astros fans hating the Nationals, I feel like Astros fans just started hating everybody instead. Anybody who would dare call them into question. Like, is there any vitriol for the Nationals at all? I don't know. I don't really feel that vibe.
I think the Nationals have vitriol for the Astros.
I don't know, though. Would you? You beat them in the World Series.
They shouldn't, but I think that because of the cheating scandal and the timing of the cheating scandal, because remember, the accusations came out a month after the Nationals won. I personally have heard Nationals fans and whatnot, and it's almost like they think that they're a martyr because it's like, we beat the Astros during the cheating scandal.
Not a martyr. I mean, they vanquished the evil, you know, because if they were martyrs, they would die.
Okay, thank you for the technical fix. Appreciate that. But no, I mean, it's like they think that they're heroes.
Yeah. Yeah. And they are, but that doesn't mean you would, I mean, then you don't hate them. Then you're like, yeah, whatever.
But
I don't care about
the
Astros.
Because were the Astros cheating in 2019?
Who knows?
So my whole thing is that I feel like the Washington Nationals fans kind of view themselves as heroes.
That definitely is true.
So that's
look at me. I am Lancelot.
It's like
walking
they took
around.
Down the dragon, like they slayed the dragon, mm-hmm. even though by that point the dragon I don't think was cheating.
I don't think they hate the Astros, and I don't think Astros fans really hate the Nationals on the same level as the Yankees and as the Dodgers.
NFUNT Retrospector on Twitch says, I hated our team for not being able to win one game at home. Mm. That was one of the storylines for sure, was that the Astros couldn't get a home win. And neither could the Nationals. It was all away games that series that were won.
I think coming out of that series, I would hate Gerrit Cole more than I would hate the Nationals.
Yeah.
If I were live and die by the Houston Astros every single day of my life, as opposed to being a, yes, bandwagon rider, but I've been riding that bandwagon for years, everybody.
Yankees on their own streak. That is definitely a franchise that hates the Astros.
Yes.
I do believe that it is mutual.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees and Astros, the best teams in baseball right now. So do you think that is our ALCS matchup?
I want it to be, because I want to stuff those losers into a locker. And I want their idiot fans to cry and cry some more. Because what are you going to point at this time? What are you going to use as the excuse? Because it's been excuse after excuse after excuse for the last 5 years. What are you going to say this time? I need this to happen. Just to remind them, for what would this be? A fourth straight time in the playoffs that you are forgotten. You are no longer a relevant team on the precipice, or wait, hang on, on the pinnacle that you once were.
Words are hard on Monday.
Yes,
so
they are.
You're not going to hear anything from me, any flack from me. The Yankees currently 25-9. They're ahead of the Rays, who are 21-14, and this is, of course, the AL East.
The poor-ass Rays.
Yeah.
Can you, like, stop?
Poverty franchise.
Seriously.
And you know what? The Astros benefited from it because we have James Click now.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
You know what I mean? So it's like what he's doing here is some of the groundwork that he did in Tampa Bay. But yeah, the Rays 21-14. And then other than that in the AL East, it's the Blue Jays at 18-17, which at the beginning of the season, I thought maybe the Blue Jays were going to be a threat. I don't know that I see them as much of a threat.
They're still scary to me. It's
anymore.
Early.
But the Yankees 25-9.
That's
that
impressive.
Could be ALCS.
It better be. I need it. Even if it's not the ALCS, I'll take it ALDS. I want Astros Yankees. I want it more than anything. And honestly, even if the Astros don't win a World Series, as long as they beat the Yankees, that is good enough for me. Seriously.
Yeah, 0754 on the text line says no hate for Washington, just hate for LA and New York Yankees. I mean, it's probably how the majority of Astros fans feel.
Yeah, it's weird though. I mean, because of that scandal happening, like, this is normally how it works. Like, you hate the team that beat you in a championship, but I think we just hate everybody now, which is great.
It's also become a rivalry because they continue to play each other at important times. And even when it's a regular season game, what was the game where Altuve had the home run? Do you remember that? To beat the Yankees, not during the playoffs. I'm not talking about that one.
It was last year.
Yes.
It was like the game before the All-Star break.
Yes, that's
and
right.
And the Astros were down like 5 in the ninth, I think.
Professor Mapes.
Yeah, they're down a lot.
So even the games that aren't playoff implications, they always get a little bit heated.
I mean, Ken Giles maybe needs, you know, some help, but like, Ken Giles was so frustrated with himself in that Astros-Yankees game that he punched himself in the face. Like, he gets it.
Ouch. Yeah. To which I can only say, ouch. All right, Astros taking on the Red Sox for the next series. Predictions and thoughts for that. What do you guys think?
I don't know, but this is one of those series where my family's going to try to bring me back in. This is what they do all the time.
Because
they'll be like,
resident bandwagon fan.
Hey, Paul.
This is your divorced wife.
Yeah, but like, we're on bad terms.
If
it's like my own parents.
Well, Okay. if you're keeping track, Paul's ex-wife is the Red Sox. Current wife is the Astros. Mistress is the Mariners.
Yes.
Is that right, Sean?
Yes.
Yes, that's he has at one point rooted for one-tenth of all the MLB.
Hey, look, my mistress ain't looking too good, you know? Had her on at the bar on TV. It was like, oh, damn, she's down bad. She is down bad after that weekend that she had here.
That girl needs help.
She needs help. Yeah, she needs counseling.
Well, if you own your home and you need help, listen to me. You need to listen up and grab your phone. Friends at TGS Insurance are going to deliver big savings. And you don't even have to talk to an agent. I know you pay too much for your home insurance, but you're probably not shopping for better rates because it's a hassle. No longer, guys. TGS has a new system. It instantly shops over 3 dozen carriers. You get that full quote in just 15 seconds. And all you have to do is send a single text. You're going to save a bunch of cash. So take your phone. Text money to 232323. Their system asks for your home address. You send it back. The full quote arrives within 15 seconds. This is a real company. This is a legit company. The online rating is almost perfect. And guys, their average customer from last year saves over $870. What could you do with that? You could go to a couple Astros games with that. So no one likes to shop for home insurance, but TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been. You're only a text away from big savings. One more time, text money to 232323. Save big today.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, Daryl Morey put it out there, took a huge risk, seemed confident when he brought James Harden in with the trade from the Nets. Shocker, it did not work out. As Paul and many predicted, history shows that Harden would not go very far in the playoffs, and he didn't. And so the conversations have started, and they really started during the series of who would be back, who would Daryl Morey bring back. And we heard from him media availability, the postseason after they lose media availability.
Like their exit interviews on Saturday.
Yeah, exit interview, right. And he talked about a myriad of different things. Here was his quote on James Harden being back.
We think a full year of James, we can unlock what he brings us.
Oh, God. This is how it starts.
Unlock. I do get, since he was traded in February, it's still, quote unquote, relatively new.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not overly shocked by this. I don't think you're shocked by it. But it's just the fact that he really thinks he's going to change.
There is a song in the movie Grease.
Great movie.
Hopelessly devoted to you.
And Olivia Newton-John, ladies and gentlemen.
Daryl Morey with James Harden. And I'm curious as to how this all ends. You know, if you look back at the Daryl Morey era in Houston, on paper, it is a success. They went from being a team that at one point had, yeah, Tracy McGrady, Yao Ming, I think Ron Artest for a little bit, but all those guys stopped being the players they once were, to a team that had Luis Scola as its best player.
Former Pacer.
But then from the 2011 season to 2012.
Loved the hair.
They found a way to get James Harden for, like, Kevin, I am a giant wuss Martin. Martin's one of the most dislikable players I've ever watched play basketball. This is before the flopping era, like, really took hold. But he was, ugh. Anyway, he gets Harden. And from 2012 through 2019, this Rockets team was damn good. And it makes me wonder about how many people feel that the Daryl Morey era here in Houston was a success. Because he is just trying to do exactly what he was doing before now in Philadelphia, except for he is trading for a James Harden that is no longer the same James Harden. He's holding on to Ben Simmons too long because he feels like he's going to get this mega package for Ben Simmons too. And I'm curious as to how people look at that general manager. I know that this was a city that, for the most part, worship the ground that Morey walked upon for a really long time. And I would, from time to time, join in on that. But there was always a quantum of, not all the way. There's something missing here.
Mm.
And you're seeing it in Philadelphia, where what is the follow-up? Because Morey has always been incrementally acquiring talent, incrementally acquiring talent. All right, well, what do you do now that you are just essentially married to the same great player that is no longer great?
Are we at the point in sports, and we're going to talk more about the Suns in a second and Chris Paul, to where if you don't win a ring when you have a lot of weapons that you can't be considered a success?
Oh, yeah. I don't even know if we've ever been at any other point, Vanessa.
Because I think that with Daryl Morey, I mean, obviously, we know what his thing is. It's analytics. Not everybody likes it, but he's really made a hell of a career as a GM with the I mean, the dude is speaking at MIT conferences, for Christ's sake.
Oh,
so
look at me.
I think that we are at that point. And I will say this. I think that the conversations will continue if when James Harden comes back next year, if they don't make it past this round again.
Don't you think it's kind of crazy to do the same thing as the year before, and your idea that it will work out this time is that, well, James Harden will be in shape this time. Like, that right. is essentially what we're hearing, and maybe he will be, but like, why should anyone give him that benefit of the doubt?
But did Daryl Morey set up the Rockets for success after
he
left?
Oh, no, definitely
not. So to me, by default, can you say he's a success?
The trade of Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook is just an absolute, just garbage trade. Like, a horrible, horrible trade.
He set them up for success to play against the Warriors the two times they
right.
met, the last two times they met in the playoffs. And then it was after the 19 season, once Harden was like kind of out on CP3 and Morey probably was just trying to appease Harden to
right.
keep him around, because Westbrook is the opposite of a Morey player. And I think after he was kind of forced into trading Westbrook, he had a little bit of the Magic Johnson, I'm not going to be here anyway, so who cares? Because remember, after that bubble season, the only season with Russ in Houston, Morey resigned to spend more time with his family.
Oh, that's right.
And then a month later,
was like, you know what, never mind. He did a Tom Brady.
The Sixers job.
See, and once again, family as a shield. Always. Yeah. It's the easiest shield in the world.
I hate to say this. It's like kind of like mental health. Like, when someone says it, you can't be
Don't right. hate to say it, Vanessa. That is also true.
Daryl Morey with Ben Simmons got a first row seat to seeing that.
That's a great point. I don't think he can be considered a success because he didn't win a championship and he didn't set up the Rockets to win a championship.
But
there are a lot of people that would say that with the moves he made and some of the success the Rockets have, that he was.
He was good. It's weird. Like, he, considering what he had to work with, he did a good job, but he did not do a unbelievable job.
Yeah.
He and honestly, if they hit any of those threes in the 2018 Western Conference Finals, then this is an entirely different discussion.
Yeah, he just made win now move starting in like 2017. He just made three straight years of just everything we're trying to win now.
He was a credit card.
Yeah,
sure.
and then once Harden asked for a trade, you had to trade him. Then of course your team's gonna stink.
Daryl Morey also touching on Doc Rivers. Now, I was not surprised that Daryl Morey said James Harden would be back.
Right, me neither.
I was a little surprised that he basically guaranteed Doc Rivers would be back, because the way that Doc Rivers was talking was like a man that was about to get a divorce. F it. The things that he said, do you people know the talent that I've had or the things I've had to work with?
And Harden, too, with this no comment when asked if there are plays being drawn up for him.
Here's Daryl Morey on whether or not Doc Rivers will be back.
But can you assure the people of Philadelphia and us here that the head coach will be back next year?
Yes.
Okay, so...
Now a different question.
Okay.
You get one.
All right. Number system. All right. The second one is, you know, the coach is graded and looked at on results. In the last
year... We all are.
Okay, so how would you grade yourself on the results of this team, and it's the same result for two straight years?
We didn't win the championship, so that's the goal, and we didn't meet it. Grading is up to you guys. You guys can grade us however you want. So,
I got to do a question at a press conference. The people of Houston are demanding.
The people of Houston want to know.
I mean, the wording is, somebody get Jen Psaki in here. It's like the intensity of the White House, people are dying of COVID, Daryl Morey.
Oh my God.
I was surprised that he guaranteed this, because I thought that he would have given the politically correct answer.
Yeah.
We're going to evaluate everything. We're going to see what happens. Now, does he pull a Pete Carroll and do the opposite of what he said and cut ties with Doc Rivers?
It would be pretty cold-blooded. Because the thing is, Rivers was sitting next to Daryl Morey at this press conference. Now, that would have been something else where he's like, yeah, I can't say. Doc, do you think you've done enough? But there's no way that would have happened. Like, as soon as you see them both up at the podium, that is essentially the equivalent of a photo of two key politicians next to each other. Like, this is a symbolic show of unity.
And sometimes those press conferences can get awkward. I remember when they did, like, a middle-of-the-night, last-second press conference with Chuck Pagano and Ryan Grigson to, like, prove that they still liked each other.
Whoops.
And they did not like each other.
No.
Meanwhile, the Bucks and the Celtics.
Oh, boy.
You were not confident in your Celtics. And then this weekend, Jason Tatum, 23 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists. And Grant Williams going off 27
points. Let's go. You know what's crazy? If you've played pickup basketball before, there's always a game that you play and there's someone you see and you're like, this guy probably sucks. And you just leave him open the whole game. And then he kills you. Like, he just bombs threes.
White chocolate. Let it rain.
Yeah. There's all, like, generally, and I'll look, not to stereotype, and I know everyone gets on me for body shaming, but, like, I'll be honest, if I see, like, a rather portly person that doesn't look like he's doing very well running up and down the court, I'm not even going to, like, want to cover him. I'm going to go with somebody else because I like playing defense. But there's always a guy like that who will hit like 8 threes, and you're like, damn it, like, how? His shot is ugly. Well, Grant Williams has never, ever taken as many shots as he took in this game. He took 18 threes.
He did the damn thing.
He took 18. What is he, James Harden? And, he had never come anywhere close to the amount that he made in this game. But Milwaukee just left him open, and this has been the key for the Celtics all series. It's they would just let Boston shoot. And it's almost like, hey, well, we're just going to let you shoot the three. It was almost like Syracuse playing the 2-3 zone defense. Yeah, we'll just see what happens. And Boston couldn't bleeping miss. And, you know, Giannis struggled in game 7. But, man, it just has me thinking about, like, just random performances by Grant Williams is the Celtics, what, 6th, 7th man or something like that? And, whether it's Big Shot Bob hitting all those big shots that he did for the Rockets back in the day, or maybe just how awesome Charlie Morton was in those playoffs. Like, I'm trying to think of other athletes that are on the par of Grando Grant Williams coming out of nowhere for a performance
Marwin
like that.
Gonzalez.
Marwin, that's a good one.
Let's get people on the text line.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN, or you can Twitch us, you can tweet us, and we will read these on air because we definitely want to hear your unsung Houston sports heroes in the next segment. That's coming up. Plus, is a future Hall of Fame quarterback going to play pickleball, return to football, or the broadcast booth? That's next.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
We have some good answers for unsung Houston sports heroes, guys that kind of came out of nowhere and just did the damn thing. A great answer by King of Twitch on the text line. Mario Ellie.
Oh, Kiss of Death.
Yeah, the Kiss of Death. That was a good one.
I have a Mario Ellie jersey.
Do you really?
I do. Yeah, that was one of the things I got as celebration for getting hired here.
Oh, Paul,
I was like,
wait,
hell
really
yeah. I haven't worn it yet, though, because I feel weird wearing a basketball jersey without super long sleeves, and it's too hot to wear long sleeves. You know?
Yeah, no, we're past that in Houston.
Yeah.
Who are some of your unsung Houston sports heroes, guys? Sean, Paul?
A good one. Oh, I guess it was against Houston, and they ended up losing, but who flooded to mind was Lou Dort in the bubble, where he basically had the Grant Williams game, but his team lost.
Yeah. Was that with
30 points in game 7?
Oklahoma City, right?
Yeah, OKC.
Yeah, and it was like that whole series used this rando defensive terrorist, essentially.
He plays great defense, but the Rockets, when the Thunder on offense, just let him shoot. And for that one game, he just made them all until the very end.
1812 taking us back to the National League days for the Astros, saying Chris Burke walk-off home run.
Oh, I remember Chris
Burke. 2005 NLDS.
That's a great one.
It's a really good one.
I remember that one,
yeah. Digging deep in the archives.
I was watching that. Where was that? I actually might have been. No, I was with my family from Houston. They were visiting me in Florida, and I remember we watched it in a hotel room. And, we were all rooting for the Astros in that game. That was
fun. I've always been impressed with how much Jeff, how much Astros fans love Jeff Blum, despite him hitting that, a home run against the Astros?
Listen, you get on the broadcast right. team. It's different. Right. You're there like you're an every night kind of guy.
Also, it helps that he's Jeff Blum and not like Albert Pujols, where it's like, yeah, that was that one yeah. moment
right,
against
right.
us versus Great Albert guy. Pujols, where we played him 20 times a year.
Yeah, God. And then he joined the Angels, and he was doing the same things with the Angels. And the Astros like got away. Yeah, we're moving to the American League to get away from Albert Pujols, and he followed them here. Good God.
He made headlines over the weekend as well.
Oh, yeah, he pitched in a game, right?
A little bit of pitching action.
Did he get shelled? Because that would be nice. That would be some nice karma, given his actions over the last year.
When it comes to the sports media landscape, I always have thoughts.
Oh, yeah, you're obsessed with it. I mean,
I always, like, everybody.
You were spilling the tea on some on your favorite TV show behind the scenes before the show started today.
I was. Thank you. Appreciate it. We all have random things we're obsessed with. For me, it's like IndyCar and sports media. The landscape of sports media, just random things, you know, when you have that subject on Twitter that's like, what's something random that you could give a TED talk about right now that nobody else would know
about?
You
could go all day on it.
I could go all day on this.
Seriously, she does go all day on it.
They love it. They always listen to every single word I say.
I think Sean and I sometimes we're entertained by it, but for the most part, we're like, you know, I don't know. But you're really into it, so we respect the passion.
I think it's fascinating to see what works and what doesn't, with all seriousness.
That's true.
I actually think it's really interesting. That's why it fascinates me so much.
It's an inexact science.
Because I know like 80% of these people, and by no means do I think that they're that interesting, and by no means do I fangirl over them. I just think that it's really interesting to see what works and what doesn't. Obviously, that subject has come up with Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. Is he going to be worth $375 million over 10 years? Is he too vanilla? And we've kind of seen that play out in the last week too, with the news that Drew Brees may not be back with NBC Sports. Drew Brees was one of those guys that had that broadcasting deal locked up, and it was, and everybody thought, okay, there's going to be movement with Mike Tirico. Al Michaels is exiting for Amazon, I believe. Maybe he could be somebody that slides into Chris Collinsworth's place. Maybe that, but that did not happen. And there are reports that he is done with NBC. To which Drew Brees actually sent out a tweet that is probably the most interesting thing that he said on Twitter in a while. Despite speculation from media about my future this fall, I'm currently undecided. I may work for NBC. I may play football again. I may focus on business and philanthropy. I may train for the pickleball tour, senior golf tour, coach my kids, or all of the above. I'll let you know.
So he doesn't like that this announcement is being taken out of his hands. But this isn't like a retirement announcement. And Andrew Marchand of the, I believe, New York Post, who reported on it, is about as good as it gets when it comes to reporting on media news. So he's out. They don't like him. He's not good. He's not good at his job. It happens. Some of these guys just don't, they don't translate. And I think for Drew Brees, I mean, the only time that Drew Brees has ever said anything was when he was talking about kneeling for the flag, like years after it was done, and year after the conversation was like to the point of everyone, like no one even actually cared that much about it anymore. And then when he said it, Malcolm Jenkins, his teammate, basically told him, bleep you, Drew Brees, and then he backtracked on it immediately. That's the only time that he has said anything interesting. He is not interesting as a broadcaster, and you know, there's only so far that being a great quarterback can take you.
Bengals Raiders. Do you remember the Bengals Raiders game? The one game he was in the booth.
Mm-hmm.
It was really, really bad.
Yeah.
But he also wasn't good in like on doing pregame and postgame either. He was super vanilla.
Yep.
He couldn't give opinions.
Yep.
There was the whole thing when he did color commentary with he and Mike Tirico where they wouldn't critique the refs. And then 10 minutes later, they came back and they were like, oh, yeah, you know that. Remember that one play that happened? Here's what we found out about it. But we don't really have an opinion about it. We just think the game should go on. It did not work.
That's already an epidemic, by the way. Like that chill that the NBA brings on to talk about like blown calls. They'll ask him a question and he cuts them off mid-question. He's like, that was the correct call. And it's like, actually, wait, hang on, though. Like, ref guy, the player like pulled out a knife and stabbed the other guy in the back. Well, that's not a flagrant foul. The call on the field is the correct, or the court is the correct one. I hate that part of it. And you're right. Like, now throw on top of it, Drew Brees not having any opinions. And yeah, it's not good.
Jeff can't walk off in 2004. We're getting some more answers for some unsung Houston sports heroes. Marwin Gonzalez, a lot of Chris Marwin Burks.
Marwin, like, randomly becoming awesome was a just bizarre one, because he really was an incredible player for that entire season. You want to really go back in time? How about Colby Rasmus randomly being awesome in 2015 for the Astros? He was like, yeah, the big bat for the Astros. It's Colby Rasmus and Evan Gattis, like the two guys who were providing all the power for the 2015 Houston Astros.
We got a good one on the text line. Corey Brewer, 2015.
Oh, yeah. Corey Brewer.
I remember
and Josh
that one.
Smith.
Yes.
Josh Smith, too, who also was like an afterthought at that point in the NBA. He came to the Rockets, and he was good in those playoffs. You know who wasn't good in that game? James Harden.
Full circle.
Dwight Howard was good in that game.
Any other unsung sports heroes that you guys can remember?
Yeah, Dwight Howard. He didn't get enough credit here. No, I'll stand by that one. Dwight Howard gets dumped on too much for his time here. He was a good player for the Rockets.
Pablo Prigioni had a couple big steals in Game 7.
That's a name.
And, like, not being sure if he's Italian or Argentinian. That was my favorite part. I was like, oh, yeah, the Italian guy. He's from Argentina. Same difference. It's the same. They have wine, both of them. They're in different hemispheres. Whatever. Prigioni. Hey, gabagool.
Rasmus has one of the highest batting averages in MLB playoff history.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, the next year he wasn't good, and then he was gone. That was
a lot of throwbacks here. 8924 says Mookie Norris.
Good name.
Mookie. It's a great name.
It's not Mookie, like a Mookie Blaylock, but
like,
Mookie.
Mookie Betts. Yeah, yeah. Mookie. 713-780-ESPN. We want to hear your unsung Houston sports heroes. As we continue to talk
about... Grant Williams hit like a million threes, and it makes no sense to be still. I'm still so happy about this. It's great.
So we talked about the NBA a little bit in the last segment, but we didn't get to hit on the Suns. The Suns were absolutely eviscerated.
Oh, good God.
By the Dallas Mavericks.
They killed them. And I'm also a little concerned about Dallas all of a sudden actually having a good team again, because it's been a nice couple of years, right, where none of Dallas' sports teams have really mattered. The Cowboys have been like a 10-6, 10-7 kind of team. The Rangers have been complete ass. The Stars, we don't really care that much about hockey.
Yeah.
But not
a hockey show.
No, not. I wish there was hockey here. I just, ever since
hockey
I moved here.
Hockey is one of the sports that's cool in person.
It is. And they don't have it here. But right. But anyway, yeah, back to Phoenix. I mean, what do you say? I don't know what to say about the Suns. It's mind-blowing that a team that was this good during the regular season is all of a sudden, because they can't play DeAndre Ayton, they're just absolute crap out there. Like, I don't know what happened.
Chris Paul, 0-11 in the first
half.
He
was -39. Like, that takes effort. And then they pulled him out of the game with a quad contusion. And I saw Patrick Beverley giving him crap about that. Hey, who's going to be the first guy that leaves the game with a, quote, injury, end quote. Now he was dancing on Chris Paul's grave today on ESPN.
It was 51-27 in the second quarter. I don't know about you guys. I don't know what your watching habits were this weekend.
I actually kept it on
because it was like a train wreck that I couldn't stop watching.
I had to stop watching because I feel bad for Chris Paul. I'm just glad that he got slightly further in the playoffs than James Harden this year.
I want CP3 to win a ring. At this point, I don't know that it happens.
I don't know that I do, because I feel like it's going to take Vanessa him pairing up with LeBron James, and I can't have LeBron win another title. No.
What about you, Sean? CP3, win a ring, not win a ring?
I like CP3, but I don't like him enough to be like, yeah, I hope he wins a ring. I do enjoy him. He either needs to epically flame out, because that's entertaining, or he needs to win a ring.
Yeah.
Last year was not satisfying because he played well. They just got out-dueled by Giannis. But it's like, I want him to either lose by 40 or win a ring.
I could not stand him until the Rockets traded him. And this was
and then you liked him?
Yes.
Traded away.
Now, why was that?
When they traded him away. Because I thought, like, it was Harden throwing Chris Paul under the bus for not being healthy and, I guess, not getting along with him. And
enemy
I thought
of my enemy.
And they sent him to Oklahoma City, like, which was at the time Siberia. And then he led them to the playoffs that year. Like, that team was awful, and he still was able to lead them to the playoffs. So that moment, I became a fan of him, because I also had like a weird little axe to grind with the Rockets then too. I thought that they were just all the people that were there that are bad, like Tad Brown specifically, they're all gone. So.
You were not a Tad Brown fan.
Well, Tad Brown tried to have people I know fired because they were reading headlines from like the Houston Chronicle. So
ESPN says Chris Paul has blown a 2-0 series lead 5 times. Blake Griffin is the second one that's done it 3 times.
Well, because they played together.
Right.
Three of those were with the Clippers, so they're both on those teams.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, our In Case You Missed It segment, we talk a little bit more about the NBA, and then somebody ratioed for talking about Ohtani. That's next.
Oh, no.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we're rolling along on a Monday. I'm Vanessa Richardson. That is Paul Gallant, our producer behind the glass. As always, is Sean Mapes. And we are in our segment now called In Case You Missed It. Just a quick recap of some of the things that you may have missed over the weekend. First, guys, the wide receiver shuffle kind of continues with Jarvis Landry. The New Orleans Saints continuing to revamp that wide receiver core. Five-time Pro Bowler Jarvis Landry joining the team. He confirmed it on social media.
One of the most annoying subplots in Hard Knocks history, Vanessa, was when Jarvis Landry was just flagrantly trying to be the Chad Ochocinco of the Cleveland Browns series. Because Chad Ochocinco, if you watch that Hard Knocks, he stole the show. I forget what year it was, but he was just pulling out of his butt, Chad Ochocinco, all sorts of like random sayings.
The
like,
McDonald's stuff too,
but he was saying like kiss the babies and all sorts of things. So Jarvis Landry spent most of Hard Knocks trying to make this one saying called bless him a thing. And it was 100% a ripoff of Chad Johnson from that series of Hard Knocks. And then he was selling T-shirts afterwards. It was the most insufferable subplot of Hard Knocks. And it's when I started to hate Hard Knocks was when just there's a whole like 5-minute sequence of Jarvis Landry going, bless him, like to people while he's on the field, which is, I guess, his way of saying bleep you, which was akin to Chad Ochocinco saying child please, which was his version of saying
"child,
bleep you.
Please" was great.
Yes, it was. It was natural because
it really happened.
Chad Johnson slash Chad Ochocinco is a natural entertainer, where Jarvis Landry is like many wide receivers trying to be more relevant than they actually are.
You know what? The problem with Hard Knocks is that the teams get final say on what airs, and the NFL gets
The show sucks
airs
now,
so it's just not good anymore.
The season. Imagine having a season where you have Antonio Brown doing one, almost getting in a fight with, who's this guy? With this? Mike Mayock. Two, not practicing because he refuses to adapt his helmet. Three, freezes his feet off. Four, gets cut by the team. All of those things happen. Guess how much airtime any of it got? We're talking like 2 minutes. And I remember that, and I was like, I'm never watching Hard Knocks again. So I haven't watched Hard Knocks the last couple of years, and I don't think I've missed out on anything. I did watch part of the Dallas Cowboys season of Hard Knocks, but that's it.
I hate to say it, but it was really only entertaining when a team would lose. Like when the Colts lost so badly, because the Colts, they did the first ever in-season
Hard
Knocks.
Oh, you're talking was it a Hard Knocks or was it All or Nothing? Because there's
the Colts were on Hard Knocks.
I thought they were on All or Nothing.
I can 1,000% confirm they were on Hard Knocks.
Last year was the in-season Hard Knocks.
It was the first ever.
Colts were on.
Which is different than All or Nothing.
All or Nothing is an Amazon property.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I'm not sure survived the
But
pandemic.
Hard Knocks had always done during training camp, and for the first time they did it during the season. And again, it was only really entertaining when they would lose.
Because it was a train wreck.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's because let's be honest, like the NFL preseason, it's cool to see the stories of guys trying to make teams, but after a while, that gets a little bit, repetitive, and not every year you have an entertaining team.
Meanwhile,
the Lions this year, though.
Continuing with In Case You Missed It over the weekend, Michelle Tafoya, former NBC sideline reporter who left NBC to pursue politics, tweeted one of the most ratioed tweets I've ever seen in my life. At Angels broadcast, enough with the Ohtani baseball chatter at Bally Sports West.
That got ratioed?
Yeah. Because she would. What do you mean, did it get ratioed?
That's not that bad, though. You can be annoyed
by
that.
But she's telling the Angels broadcast to stop talking about Ohtani.
Yeah, like, move on. Talk about something else. Talk about the rest of the team.
I mean, yeah, that's going to get ratioed.
Baseballs are a 20. Baseball features a 26 man roster. What's wrong with that? See, the reason.
So you agree with Tafoya? Racist.
See, that's the thing. That's why she is moving into politics. Is that not why she is being ratioed?
Are we canceling Paul right now?
Whatever. What did I say that's wrong? What did I say?
He just wants more Taylor Ward talk.
Yeah.
He does.
Reed
yeah.
Detmers.
Thank you. I want to hear about.
Give me some Jared Walsh talk.
Listen, let's get a little bit of insight into. I'm trying to think of other angels. I'm filibustering here.
I think I took all the good ones.
I think people assumed she was saying something race related when she didn't necessarily say anything race related. But you know, he's like the greatest player right now. So aren't they going to talk a lot
he's
about
no Jordan Alvarez
on Bally Sports West?
You see Jordan Alvarez making a like catch at the wall, putting his body on the line, becoming a great fielder. Shohei Ohtani couldn't do that because he's soft. He pitches on the mound.
He did put his body
on the
line.
He would never field a ball.
Meanwhile, scared. The Golden State Warriors eliminated the Grizzlies in Game 6. Draymond Green impressed by a young Grizzlies team.
I forgot Mike Trout, by the way. So that series came to a very disappointing conclusion. Did you not think there was a moment where I was like, oh my God, and I wanted to believe what we heard Lance say, like that John Morant could be the next Michael Jordan.
He said that.
But this series just turned into an absolute dumpster fire since then. But I guess there's at least a modicum of respect that's being shown Memphis's way, Vanessa.
Yeah, Draymond. This is Draymond on that young Grizzlies team.
I told myself for multiple days that I was going to come in this press conference and talk about their gritty and their whoop that trick and everything else. And the only thing I can do is give my respect to that team. You know, they earned that. You know, there was a lot of talk in this series of fouls and this and that, and this should be reviewed and that should be reviewed. And I think it really started to take away from what was a great, great series with two amazing teams. And so, you know, that team, that's a group of young guys who, you know, obviously you get to the business side of things and you got to keep that together. But, I mean, that's a group of young guys that they're hungry, they're talented, they're athletic. They got it. They can be special. They can be really special.
I liked this sound from Draymond nice. Green because, first of all, Draymond Green, we talk about guys kind of who become likable unexpectedly. I like Draymond Green now. Him being on TNT, right, when he does the
yes.
when he does the announcing, I like Draymond. But I also really like John Morant. I thought this was a really respectful way for him to encourage them and say, you know, this is a team of up-and-comers.
I really like the way that they play, too. And you know, to go back to the Boston-Milwaukee series, like those are two teams that play basketball the way I like it, and Memphis is like a younger version of those two teams. They just play tough. I do think there is obviously a problem across basketball where you have some guys who, instead of just embracing the physicality of the playoffs, they start to be a little bit whiny. Jason Tatum's doing a little bit too much of that for my liking. But teams that play hard defense, physical, that basically do not back down, that is how every team should play in the playoffs. That is the kind of basketball that I like. I think it is the kind of basketball that most NBA fans of my age really appreciate. And Memphis does it. And it's crazy. They've had so many different iterations of it. It's weird that the franchise DNA has always been like the same. Hey, we're going to be this grimy, gritty team. You're going to hear that word a lot. It's going to be kind of insufferable. But the team almost always has that personality, which is cool. And their uniforms are sick, too.
Meanwhile, Matt Rhule was told by Carolina Panthers owner David Tepper that there was, quote, nothing to the report that Sean Payton could be the next head coach of the Carolina Panthers.
I got a kick out of that David Tepper press conference, too, because, Vanessa, they also said that Sam Darnold is still the team's number one quarterback, but that things could change. The Panthers are definitively more of a mess than the Texans. So,
oh, at this point, no question.
Let's raise a banner at NRG Stadium, not the Panthers. The Panthers are a mess. I mean, they should have just fired Matt Rhule. There's no point in this. They should have just moved on.
It makes it worse that they have the richest owner in the NFL and that they paid Matt Rhule an absurd salary.
They did. And I thought pretty highly of Matt Rhule coming out of college. And there's a chance that he could be a good coach again the next time around. But his big mistake, and anyone with a brain should have been able to see this, to go all in on Sam Darnold was stupid. I don't get why they did. Like, anything that you had seen from Sam Darnold, he is a turnover machine, and everyone seemed to be believing that just because he is young compared to most players from that draft class, that all of a sudden that means that he could potentially get better just because of his age. What happened with the Texans and Emobi Okoye? You know, like, it was just, they drafted him. Was he even 20 years old? I'm not even 100% sure. But that defensive tackle out of Louisville, I mean, he was young, and you try to give somebody like that every single chance, but sometimes the guys just don't have it, period. And just because of their age, like, compared to other people that are like 2 or 3 years older, that shouldn't be a reason to give that guy another chance. Darnold does not deserve another chance.
Speaking of quarterbacks, this report surprised me. Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers apparently have some bad blood. According to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Gary Dulac, who was very in the know, one of the guys that breaks stories constantly, was asked if there's bad blood between the Steelers and Big Ben. And he said, quote, "I would say it's very, very safe to assume that." Not one very, but two varies.
Good.
This was surprising to me. Were there stories of Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers ownership getting into it, or him and Tomlin?
I know back in the day there definitely were, and that they had had lots of conversations about how he has to act like less like a man child and more like an adult.
Right.
And, you know, he did do that to an extent, but I bet he's annoyed that they kind of forced him out. I think he felt like he could go leave the game on his own terms. Sorry, you're not that good. You know, no one, honestly, is really that good. Peyton Manning got cut, you know, by the Colts. And
it's a business at the end of the day.
You know, the Broncos definitely would not have re-signed him after winning that Super Bowl, given how cutthroat they were the year before, moving on from John Fox, who got them to a Super Bowl, to go to Gary Kubiak. So, you know, It's, I think, very difficult to accept when your career has ended, and Roethlisberger probably didn't. Steelers made the right move.
They would not have re-signed Peyton, but they will put him in a terrible, terrible schedule release video.
Oh, with the Broncos, yeah. Awful. I mean, well, Peyton Manning is more of a Bronco than a Colt.
Stop.
He is.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant.
Everyone says it.
Fight Paul during the break for saying that. We're talking about the Astros' future and present, why they may be one of the best teams in the MLB, and who we would like to see them play in the ALCS. That's next.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.